Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Every little boy dreams about having a bottomless hole. He can do whatever he wants with
it. Is that what every boy dreams
about?
Every
little boy, every single one.
What would you put in there?
Well, you start with your penis.
Yeah. It was 9 feet wide. Hello, welcome back to Shitty Though. I can't say our name of the show. I can't say it.
Oh, no, it's going to be a disaster.
I got nervous. You said you were excited. I got nervous. I'm going to fuck it all up.
Welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You What About
Podcast.
Welcome to
what they both don't. Oh my God.
My name is Stephen Green.
Welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You.
This is my wife, Nicole Green.
Oh my God.
And today we are indeed talking about a topic that when Nikki said it, of course, I laughed because I'm a child.
Yes, it is the topic of Mel's hole.
Love it.
I couldn't believe that Steve hadn't heard of it before.
Never heard of it my whole life.
This man introduced me to Coast to Coast. I didn't really listen to the radio, but sometimes...
You're talking about Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. I used to listen to
it
all the time in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Can you give a quick description of the kind of show?
It's just the most out there show ever. They talk about aliens and conspiracy shit, but it's so much better than that because if somebody calls the show, right, and they're like, so I live with an 11-foot spider, Art Bell is immediately like, uh-huh. And how is that? How is living with an 11-foot spider? Like, there's no, like, are you serious? There's no, like, is this a crank
call?
It's
valid. Everything's valid.
It's immediately accepted by the host. And I just think that is such a hilarious show format.
Yeah.
And he knew exactly what he was doing. He's very, very smart broadcaster.
It's not like he bought into every call that it came in, but he was good at interviewing people.
He was so good at interviewing people.
He was good at just
He's a good listener,
listening to
which
them.
I think is the key to any good interview when I'm listening to an interviewer. I love good listeners who attack the question that maybe came into my mind.
People that try to be too smart, like, oh, okay, so you're saying, okay, 11 is a spider, huh? It's like, it's not funny.
It's not entertaining.
Like, it's not entertaining. Just let the story be entertaining.
I know,
it's not
it
about
sucks.
You, bro. But anyway, we love Art Bell.
We stan
Art Bell.
We do. I mean, he's deceased now, unfortunately. Yeah. But
R.I.P.
What a legend, honestly.
I'm a
deep admirer of him.
I did not really listen to the show all that much, although the few times I did listen, it was quite entertaining. But I remember Steve being a fan of it. And so I don't know how it came up. We were talking about conspiracy stuff or like what kind of topics have we not covered. And I was like, well, we could do Mel's Hole. And he was like, a what? Excuse a what?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, you've never heard of Mel's Hole? Oh my God, it's so good. Okay. So even having heard about it, going back and looking up the story again, I was like, this shit is just so good. Okay, so this story takes place in a little bit west of Ellensburg, Washington. Okay. So there's a guy, his name's Mel Waters, and he gets a property that has a hole in the ground that looks kind of like a well, but it's not a well. It's a stone pit that's about 9 feet in diameter. And the stone wall goes about 15 feet deep, and then the hole extends way longer than that. And the previous owners to this property, as well as all of the neighbors in the whole neighborhood, used this hole as a trash dump. They threw, like, everything in there. Like, they threw, like, old tires, like, appliances, refrigerators. It was like bulk trash day in the hole.
Wow.
Every time. But the thing about it is that...
I like that you say bulk trash day. Now that we are homeowners, it's part of our life. But I didn't know what that was.
Me neither. Yeah.
2 years ago.
We have a bulk trash day. It's every other week. So you can't put your bulk trash out, like appliances or like...
You're listening to 30s radio.
For everyone in their mid to late 30s. Okay. So... You got this. Got a property.
That's pretty dope.
Has a big hole.
So you're like chucking fridges in there and all that stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is.
And they're like, where the hell is all this
Mel
stuff
goes,
going?
Yeah. Mel goes like, how come this hole never fills up? How long have you guys been doing this? The neighbors are like, we've been doing this for years and years and years.
Do they ever hear anything?
No.
Isn't that what you want to do? You want to hear it hit the bottom.
Right. No. They don't. Whoa. That's a great question. So a couple weird things, like dogs wouldn't go near it. Radio would pick up weird signals. You couldn't see the bottom. Couldn't hear your own echo. Like if you would like try to yell in there, couldn't hear it.
What the fuck?
Yeah. You can't hear objects hitting the bottom.
So it's just a big sinkhole.
Yeah, it's a huge, but it's like
narrow.
It's directly down. Like it goes directly down like 9 feet wide, stone for 15 feet and then nothing.
Wild.
Yeah. And so Mel is like, what the heck?
Do you think it's one of those kids where you find out that China's on the other side of the earth and then you start to dig a hole to China in your backyard for like 2 days?
I don't think they could bored. Be so accurate as to like keep it a perfect circle, a 9-foot circle.
I see.
Oh, and before Mel moved in, some of the other neighbors said that there used to be like stone pillars around it, kind of like Stonehenge, but without the top thingies.
Wow.
Yeah. But then those were gone. So I don't know what happened to those. Anyway, when Mel moves in, it's just this hole. And he's like, huh, this is really weird that you can't hit the bottom. I want to know how far down it goes. So he's a fisherman. He has some fishing spool. He takes one of his fishing wire spools and he puts a 1 pound weight on the end of it and he drops it down to the hole. And he drops it down, keeps going. The whole line goes 4,500 feet. 4,500 feet and it didn't hit the bottom.
Holy shit.
So he brings it back up and then he attaches another spool. This time it goes down almost 10,000 feet and still does not touch the bottom. He even like put lifesavers on the end of one because he wanted to see if there was water down there. And so it's like if the lifesavers went down, then it would dissolve in the water.
Mm.
Didn't touch the bottom, no water. Puts the weight back on and keeps adding lines. He keeps adding lines, hoping to get the bottom. At one point, he runs out of spools, and it was 80,000 feet, so over 15 miles it goes down.
Holy shit.
And still had not touched the bottom. Yeah.
What's the deepest we've drilled into the earth?
I don't know. I thought it was 4 miles, but I don't know. Mel's hole goes down.
I think it's more than that, but I definitely don't know.
Okay. So, like I said, dogs would not go near the hole, so Mel was like, yeah, my dog won't go near this hole. It tries to like dig its way, like it like digs its feet into the ground, like will not go past a certain point near the hole.
Smart dog.
And he asked the neighbors, like, are your dogs doing this? And neighbors were like, oh yeah, like our dogs will not go near that hole. No wildlife will go near the hole, actually. There's not even insects that will go around this hole. Birds fly around the hole.
Love it.
No one goes near this hole.
I needed that extra, by the way, visualization.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Extra. And then one neighbor goes, yeah, actually, my dog died a few years back and I put its body into the hole. And this, a few days later, he sees his dog alive. He knows it's his dog because it has the same collar on it, but it doesn't respond to its name. It acts like it doesn't know him and then it runs off into the forest.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Fucking weird. Okay, so... one day, also, Mel was walking around with his radio. And
I think I just saw somebody's dog.
That's what I thought, but he has the same collar on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the part that sold me. But I'm like, you know, no one's seen the dog. Well, the neighbor just told a crazy story.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So Mel one time said that his radio started picking up old time music, like old. This was in 1997, so this old-time music was like 1930s-ish music. And then he changes the channel, and it starts playing a baseball game, which is normal for a radio. But he learns that the game that was broadcasted on his radio was actually played in 1967.
The Amazing Mets.
Yeah, exactly. That one.
The way they used to call them that.
I don't know. I didn't listen to radio baseball. Still don't. My dad did, though. Yeah, I just blocked that out.
Yeah.
It was so boring. So anyway, he calls into Coast to Coast because, like, who's ever going to believe the story but maybe Art Bell. So our boy Art Bell might listen to this story. So he calls into Coast to Coast on February 21st, 1997. He writes into the show. Well, actually, he writes into the show and then Art calls him. So Art calls Mel and Mel tells the story, tells him all about the hole. He ends up getting a lot of advice from listeners, like maybe he should use a laser to see how far it goes, or radar signals to see how far down the hole goes, which is really cool, helpful.
Yeah, hell yeah. Sonar, bitch.
Yeah, and he would update every now and then with the multiple calls that say over time you learn about, like, the dog story with the neighbor and, like, the radio thing. So he was updating the callers, and the callers were giving him advice, and it was kind of cool. But now millions of people know about this hole. And then they started putting together, by the clues that they were hearing, where this hole was, by how he was describing it and where he said he was located and stuff. And a few days after one of the broadcasts, Mel came to his property and found the entrance was blocked, the entrance to his property. And there were helicopters around. There was U.S. military. There was heavy machinery. And he was told that a plane crashed on the property, but there was no reports about a plane crashed. And he was told that he couldn't access his property until the crash was cleared up and investigated. So Mel was like, can I talk to who's in charge? So he asked to speak to whoever's in charge. And he was told by a man in civilian clothes that the land was not necessarily his anymore. That if he were to try to fight this, that they could easily find a drug lab on the property, and so he better not say anything about
it. Seized it, like they're going to make a post office or build a road.
Yeah. So he was told to leave the property. Mel threatened to go to the press, and the guy was like, "Go ahead, no one's going to believe you." But you know who would believe him?
I know one man.
Who's that?
My man, Art Bell.
Oh yeah, him. I was trying to guess.
Art, I live with a 14-foot mummy, and we both talk about art all day. Oh, what's he think about Rembrandt? Like, it's just immediate. It's just like...
I love that.
Does he think Thomas Kincaid is a real painter, or does he think it's kind of pastiche?
He just yes-ands the shit out of every story.
Immediately he's in. He's the best.
That's great. I want to listen to it more after hearing these stories.
It's worth it.
And actually, I went back and listened to clips of this, like Mel calling into the show, or like him being on the call with Art Bell, and you can listen to clips, and it's actually really interesting. Maybe you want to listen more. Anyway, so
this name does ring a bell for me.
Mel Waters.
No, Mel's Hole. The Mel's Hole thing now with the Art Bell connection rings a bell for me.
But rings an Art Bell?
I don't get it, but but honestly, it's just maybe one of those things that maybe I listened to back then, but I don't remember. But this is kind of like, this is kind of visual. I bet I would remember this because I love stories.
Yeah, right.
Like this.
I could never forget a story like this.
Yeah, it's really visual.
Like, you have a hole on your property that goes on forever.
Hole.
It's bottomless. People have been throwing their shit in there. Dog is coming back out alive. Old baseball games are playing on a radio.
Every little boy dreams about having a bottomless hole. He can do whatever he wants with it.
Is that what every boy dreams
every
about?
Every little boy, every single one.
What would you put in there?
Well, you start with your penis.
Yeah. It was 9 feet wide. Okay, so he gets on a call with Art Bell and gives an update to the show. And Mel also says during this update that a neighbor saw a dark beam, like one of the darkest beams of light, but not light because it's dark. It's like a dark shadow beam coming out of the hole and going through the clouds, darker than anything they'd ever seen before. Mel admits that he didn't actually see the dark beam, but a neighbor
told him.
A different neighbor, not the dog neighbor.
Everyone's telling Mel stories about his hole now.
Yeah. He's got a lot of stories around his hole. He's got a really dark ass hole, beams coming out of it. The Coast to Coast listeners said this part of Washington has had a lot of UFO sightings as well, and a lot of paranormal activity reports.
I've heard that about Washington a couple times.
I've never heard that about Washington.
Well, in the mountain regions of Washington.
Huh.
I have heard this.
I mean, I've heard like...
We're talking about state, right? Washington
State. Washington State. Yeah. Ellingsburg. Okay. So people were like, maybe it's a portal to another dimension. Maybe it's access to Hollow Earth. Maybe you can time travel through it because that old baseball game thing. So there's like a lot of like spinning theories,
dumb ideas.
So I gather from the show that other people call in and like talk about it too.
Of course.
Okay, so I don't listen to the show, but it sounds fun. Okay, so people are calling in. Okay.
Well, Art would do probably a segment with Mel, and then this is usually how the show format went. And then people would call throughout, like after or with Mel still on the line, and then ask him questions about it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was great. And then and then sometimes if a topic was really hot, he would like carry it into a couple nights in a row.
Yeah, so this is what happened.
Okay.
He kept getting updates like every couple of days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that in the beginning, okay? So on Coast to Coast, Art says a TV crew went out to Ellensburg to investigate the area and they couldn't find the hole, but they did find a ton of military boot prints and other evidence of military activity being in the area. So then, okay, Mel agrees to be on a call another few days later with an update. But when Art Bell called Mel, Mel didn't pick up the phone. It took 3 years before Mel was ever heard from again. Yeah. So when he eventually is heard from again, he says he after that call, he was offered $3 million a year to lease his property, but under the conditions that he had to sign an NDA, he had to leave the country immediately and never come back. So he took the deal, and he ended up living in Australia for 2 years. But he ends up missing his family, and so he wants to come back. He was warned not to do that.
Wow!
They were like, "You better not." That's part of the deal. Is like you never speak of this again. So he misses his family. He comes back anyway. He tries to like do it undercover, but. When he comes back 2 years later, he agrees to get on the phone call with Art, but then again, he doesn't show up. So he says that on the day, this is now a year after that, because it's 3 years, he says on the day that he was supposed to come on the show, he was on a bus to visit his nephew. And then on the bus, there was this altercation that happened and somebody called the cops. Well, the cops came and everybody was transferred to a different bus, and then he blacks out. When he wakes up, in an alley in San Francisco, completely different state, and he finds out that 12 days have passed. His wallet and his keys are missing. His arm hurts, and he looks at his arm, and there are needle holes and tape marks from an IV. He starts to taste blood in his mouth, and he realizes his back teeth are missing, but has no recollection of what happened. He never makes it back to his property because legal action is filed against him for building all these unapproved things like a septic tank, power lines, paved roads, things that he did not build.
Look at the guy.
Yeah. He didn't build these things because he wasn't there for 2 years. But he ended up losing everything. He lost his family. He lost his property. He lost everything. And then after the phone call, this update, his bank account ended up being empty. So completely just like lost everything. Okay. Okay, so like I said before, Art said that a TV crew looked for a hole but didn't find evidence of a hole, or couldn't find the hole but found evidence of military activity and found that the no-fly zone had been expanded to cover Mel's property. There was a website called TerraServer, which was like Google Earth, but before Google Earth. They had the entire area blacked out, which that was confirmed.
What state was Mel's hole in?
Washington.
Washington, yeah. It's crazy.
You just asked this. Washington.
Yeah, no. Sorry. Yeah. Again, I'm visually.
He did wake up in San Francisco, which was weird, but almost everything else takes place in Washington until we get to this next part. But when he was doing this update and talking about all this stuff, people were like, "I don't know anymore. Like, this is getting too weird, too crazy. I don't know. This guy seems like he's dragging it out. We think it's a hoax." There were lots of skeptical callers that said, like, maybe Mel saw the blacked out area on TerraServer and then made up a whole story around it. But TerraServer didn't actually have that area blacked out until 6 months after Mel had made the first call.
There you go. Wayback Machine, dude. Don't fuck with Wayback Machine.
Don't fuck with Wayback Machine.
Wayback Machine got your ass.
So then, after this update, a Native American tribe contacts Mel and asks if he wants to come to Nevada to help him investigate another hole that they have.
Whoa.
Yeah. They have another bottomless hole.
And in Nevada, of all places.
In Nevada.
Home of Area 51.
A home of other what? UFO sightings and
big
what?
Times.
Other paranormal activity.
Let's go.
Arizona, Nevada, Mount Shasta, Washington.
Okay, let's get to the point.
What's the point?
Is the Hadron Collider trying to open a new dimension?
There is no mention of the Hadron Collider. Where is that located?
It's in like fucking Europe. It's like in a bunch of... It's like so big that it's in a bunch of places.
Okay, yeah, so no.
Okay.
Well, I mean, unless it's all underground, I don't know. Maybe it's all connected.
It's underground.
I have no fucking clue. Maybe.
Oh.
I think it's all up and up for your own speculation.
Okay.
But don't spoil the story, because there's a lot to uncover.
Oh, shit, okay.
In this story. So yeah, this Native American tribe was like, yo, we heard your story on Coast to Coast, and we got one too. Come fucking check it out. So Mel's like, yeah, I got nothing to lose. I already lost everything. I'm gonna go out to Nevada. So he goes out to Nevada, and this second hole was not located on their reservation, but it was actually located on public land, which was occupied by the Basque, which is an ethnic group from between Spain and France that came to America in the mid 1800s and settled there. And they had been using the land for hundreds of years to herd sheep. So the Basque said the hole was there as long as their people could ever remember, which was at least 200 years. And they considered the area around the hole to be sacred. It was the same size diameter as Mel's hole, which was 9 feet. But instead of stone, this one had a metal collar. And then it was metal as far down as the eye could see. It was also warm to the touch.
So oh, fuck.
Yeah. And the metal,
like New York subway shit.
Yeah, but here's what's weird about it is that the metal didn't make any sound or vibration. So Mel accidentally dropped a tool on the collar around it, and it was completely silent on impact. They ran some experiments on this hole. Number one, they decided to lower a bucket of ice into the hole because it was so warm. They wanted to see how fast it would melt. So they kept some ice with them at the surface as a control. And when the surface ice melted, they brought the bucket back up. Well, the bucket of ice did not melt at all. It wasn't melted, but it also wasn't even ice anymore. It was like not wet and not cold. It was like cubes of salt. Like the same shape as the ice. It was still ice. It looked like ice.
What in the fuck?
But it felt like salt. And they tried to melt.
Mel's like, I miss my hole. My hole is not this extreme.
Well, he never put a bucket of ice in his hole. Maybe it would have happened. Maybe it would have. We don't know. And now he can't access his hole anymore.
He's like, my hole is so chill.
The government took it. So they take this bucket of ice and they're like, oh shit, it didn't melt at all. So they tried to melt it with an open flame, but instead of melting, it catches on fire, and then it keeps burning. It never, the flame just doesn't go out. So
Mel told the cops, please tell me he didn't after what happened last time.
No, he did not tell the cops, but he does go back on the show. I mean, these updates are all via Coast to Coast. So it's like he calls in with another update. This is the next update. After he loses everything, he calls back in with another update months later, and this is what happened.
I hope he's not telling them where he is, though.
We said Nevada. I know. That's what I keep thinking. Like,
poor guy.
Dude, like, don't take away the Basque's hole.
You're already poor. You had to take the bus to Nevada. Getting wrecked.
Exactly.
Got no bank account. Got to have the Native Americans help feed you. Like, it's Thanksgiving.
Well, they have lots of sheep.
Yeah.
Lots of that's sheep. True. Well, yeah, it was interesting because it didn't say, like, I don't know if the Basque and the Native American tribe that contacted him are the same group of people because they said that, like, it was like the Basque were next to their reservation, you know?
I understand.
So anyway, they light this shit on fire and it burns for months. But they, yeah. But
like
during
Al Davis's flame?
Before they realized that it was burning for months, like, they're like, okay, let's put this aside. It keeps burning. We'll see how long it burns. They put it over here. They kept sending down buckets of ice at different times. Most of the time, like 2/3 of the time, it melted normally. It was just normal ass ice. But 1/3 of the time, it transformed the same way, where it turned into like weird salt ice. So then, after doing all these experiments, one of the Basque guys.
These ice-based experiments, yeah. Mostly. What the hell?
I don't know. One of the Basque guys says, I want to go down the hole. I volunteer as tribute. And everyone else in the circle is like, no. Like, don't. What the fuck? Like, don't go in this hole.
I call that the Ghostbusters too.
Right?
It's like, we'll put you on a rope. We'll throw you down the hole. We'll see what's down the hole.
It's like, this ice just fucking turned into salt ice and lit on fire forever.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But yeah, this guy's like, yeah, I'll go. I want to see what's in the hole. Everyone's like, I don't think it's a good idea. We should not do that. Instead, we will send one of our sheep down in the hole.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
I think so as well. Yeah. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I will tell you what happened
to this sheep. That was good.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, so we're back. And where we left off was the Basque and Mel and a few Native Americans decided to send a sheep down into this hole. Now, as you can imagine, the sheep, just like the dogs, did not want to go in this hole. Yeah. Was so fucking pissed. It was in a crate, and they start lowering the crate, and the sheep is just kicking. It's bye-bye. It's like, get me out of here. It's like kicking the shit out of this crate, just trying to get out. I feel really freaking bad for the sheep, right? Too. So it's getting lowered down, and it's kicking, and at 1,000 feet, it stops moving. And they start feeling a humming sensation coming from the rope in the crate that they lowered it down with. It's like a humming sensation. They leave it there for 30 minutes. Then after 30 minutes, they bring the sheep back up, and the crate was unchanged. Exactly the same, looked like a crate. The sheep also looked exactly the same, looked fine, but it was definitely dead. Like, it was not moving.
What?
It was just like, it looked like a sheep just fucking...
So there's some kind of gas in there or some shit?
I don't know. So the Basque, they knew how to butcher a sheep because that's what all they do is they herd sheep and they...
they're going to try to eat it?
No. They just want to see like what's inside this sheep. Like what happened? They want to do an autopsy. They want to see what happened. So they take the sheep over to a table and they cut it open to do an autopsy. And they describe the sheep as looking cooked from the inside. Also, taking up almost the entire inside of the sheep was a giant, what looked like a giant tumor. It's like this giant black tumor. And then the tumor starts moving.
What the fuck?
So they cut the tumor open, and out of the tumor comes what was described as a fetal seal.
What are you talking about?
Like a baby seal. And it comes out, just like they cut it open, and the seal comes out, and it's attached with like an umbilical cord to the tumor. And so it looks like a baby seal, but it had eyes like a human. And it looks at the guys, like it looks at all the men. It's like, what the fuck, like, where am I?
Acknowledges their presence.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're like looking at the seal, but everyone's kind of like, and they're looking back and forth at each other.
They're like, let's put it in the hole.
Well, Mel can kind of, like, it goes over, immediately goes to the edge of the table. And Mel can kind of gets the sense that it wants to go back in the hole. So he picks it up and he puts it near the hole. It doesn't go in the hole right away. And also Mel said that it was covered in this like slimy substance.
Dude, Mel is so chill.
I know. I'm like, why would you touch?
All these stories, he's so chill.
Why would you touch that? Maybe he just felt like a guy that has nothing left to lose. Yeah. So he was covered in the slime substance and it smelled like ozone. I don't know what that means, but that's what.
It smells
like ozone. It had ozone. A smell. So the seal didn't jump in the hole right away. It was like, it just wanted to watch the people. Like, it was like looking at the people, like, just like it had never seen people before, obviously. And then the people were like, well, we've never seen you, basically. And like, they were just kind of like studying each other for like 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah, for 2 hours. They just like watched the seal, wanted to see what the seal was going to do.
This is definitely pre-smartphone.
Yeah.
Because if this is in the smartphone era, I think I could do that for 8 minutes and then I'm probably like, I'm on my phone. I'm like, you know, checking out, like, okay, like, what's going on with Fancy tonight? Yeah. Let me just check my cryptos real quick.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay.
Or at least,
yeah,
like, I'd Instagram it or like put it on a broadcast.
Any of it.
Instagram Live or whatever.
Any of it.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, everyone would call it fake anyway, but. So the seal and them guys are like studying each other for 2 hours and then the seal just jumps into the hole. Here's the thing. Before Mel went to Nevada, he was diagnosed with advanced esophageal cancer and given only six months to live. But after this encounter, he ended up being cancer-free. And he thinks that he was cured by this creature.
By this,
magic
prenatal
seal. Yeah. Yes. And says,
and I can picture him telling that to Art Bell. And Art Bell saying, like, oh, and how far along was it? Just immediately.
Yeah.
What a legend.
He also feels like he had kind of a transcendent experience during that time.
Whoa.
Like it was a very like.
Like touching like a frog kind of thing. Like, you know how like they released that.
Like DMT?
Yeah, DMT shit.
I don't know. I've never tried that, but like maybe. Mm. The whole thing seemed very kind of spiritual is what they, what Mel described
so
it as. And so a few months later, Mel comes back on Coast to Coast and he gives an update. And he's like, okay, so you know that bucket of ice that they lit on fire? One of the Bass guys kept it in his cabin and he left it burning in his stove to keep warm because it was kind of cold. Okay, it's cold in the desert and it's, you know, cold time.
He's like, it's kind of a little,
it's like,
little
like right
hack.
Now. It's actually really freezing right
it's
now.
Kind of a sick little life
in Nevada.
Hack
I can vouch that in Nevada, I would like a burning bag of ice. Salt ice,
yeah,
to keep warm.
I wouldn't like that, actually.
If I don't want it, but if I had no other thing to keep warm, I'm like, eh, it's not so bad.
I just wouldn't like it because you would probably knock it over at some point.
Probably, but he kept it in the stove. Smart.
Okay.
So it burned for months and it sucked all the moisture out of the air. So it was always dry. His skin was always dry, but it's kind of like
Nevada.
That anyway. Yeah.
Nevada.
When he would boil water, the steam would be pulled into the stove.
That's just Nevada, too.
Yeah. And then one day, the stove crashed through the floor and into the ground underneath the cabin. It was still warm, though, so he just patched up the hole and used it to heat the cabin.
This is the cheapest motherfucker I've ever heard about. When do you just go get a Duralog?
Well, they live off the land, Steve.
Holy shit, dude.
So a couple weeks later, he comes home and he finds his entire cabin has collapsed and turned into dust.
Was it worth it to save on fucking logs?
And so he moves in with his brother. Oh my God. Like, he's living with his brother.
And he's like, can we bring my fire? And his brother's like, no, we're done with the fire.
Well, yeah. He was like, oh, my fucking cabin. You know? So he like comes around to his cabin like a month later to just check and like see, I don't know. Well, he's just checking on his cabin and he sees that the stove is now 5 feet under the ground and that the hole that's being created is perfectly smooth.
Oh shit, it's a new hole. It's
making another hole. Yeah. So, yeah, they're like, they're trying to get the stove out. They can't get it out. They ended up having to use a giant crane to get the stove out eventually. And the Basques said that during this time, they were sometimes visited by the seal creature. And they felt that it was a benevolent presence and it was very spiritual.
Does it just waddle in and out like a seal?
Yeah, it like comes in, out of the hole and communicates with them.
Or comes out of the hole.
Yeah, yeah. Like
out of the new hole.
Or I don't know, maybe they visited him. It visited them like spiritual. I don't know.
Independently.
Well, it. No, like, it didn't come out of the new hole.
The new hole.
Not the new hole. The new hole's only 5 feet deep.
Word.
When they tried to get the stove out, they were able to get the stove out with a crane. And they did because, so the seal thing keeps visiting the Basque and the Basque are like, okay, we feel safe with it. Like, we don't feel like it's like malicious. We feel like it's a nice creature.
We like the prenatal seal.
And they're like, they also noticed that after the seal kept visiting them, they'd see like brightly colored birds circling the hole now.
Mm.
Like, so like some spiritually, like tropical. Yeah. So they felt like it was just a whole like spiritual experience. Although they tried to shoot the birds and the birds were immune to bullets. So the birds could not be shot.
Of course they did.
But I don't know why they wanted to shoot the birds.
Well, these guys are very scientific.
Yeah.
That's what you
true,
do.
Yeah.
You don't understand how science is, right? You got to try things.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't we try shooting it?
Yeah, I think that is what happened.
Hey, like, what if we lower some ice in there?
They're like, maybe we can check it out if we shoot it. Because they didn't shoot
hey,
it.
Hey, what if we use the silly ice trays this time, huh? Like the ones that are different shapes.
Very scientific.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know.
My kind of people.
So yeah, they tried to shoot the birds. Birds could be shot. But the Basque also believed that the seal was communicating to them through the radio using signals that they could understand. And the seal was warning them that the ice is really dangerous and could lead to the destruction of the entire planet if it was in the wrong hands. That's why they eventually took the stove out and they were like, oh, shit. All right. So Art Bell asks if there's any recording of this language, like the seal communicating and the
Basque. That's a really reasonable question.
And there is. Mel's like, yeah, the Basque actually recorded everything.
With what?
Well, they had a tape recorder.
They didn't use a video camera?
Well, it's 1997 or
everyone had
or
video
2000.
Cameras. I had a camera.
I didn't. The rich people had it.
What? There's camcorders.
I know, but they were expensive. They were like $1,000.
Well, sure, but yeah, people had camcorders.
They did, but it was really expensive. You think it was like tribe out in the middle of nowhere has a camcorder?
By the way, your iPhone is $1,000. Everything's $1,000.
No, but an iPhone was until 2007.
I know.
And when it first came out, it was $250.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, you had a cool plan, huh? But I had Verizon. One of those Verizon people.
It was AT&T, but anyway, didn't get very good service. So Art gets Mel to agree to come back on the show, but with evidence this time. Mel says he's going to go back to Nevada. He's going to bring the recordings. He's going to bring pictures. He's going to bring everything he could find. And he's going to come back on the show and show like all the evidence.
But. Exactly. God damn it. With these fucking stories.
Mel is never heard from again. Eventually, like Art keeps calling and eventually the line's disconnected. And this was after a 5 year long journey of updates.
Well, yeah, because the guy, you know, you can only live action role play for so long before you have to show nudes. And
so
then,
that's exactly what
yeah.
the people
yeah.
were saying was like, well, maybe the story got so fucking crazy.
Come on, how's
like,
he gonna produce
how can
that?
You keep up with the hoax? But here's some stuff that was confirmed.
Okay.
Because the story is just really interesting to a lot of people, especially with just the mysterious ending of him just disappearing and never heard from
like,
again.
There is a tourist trap called Mel's Hole off of a freeway.
So the terrace server did have that area blocked out that he described. But Google Maps has it back up.
Okay.
Like, and you can see it now. And people were like, you know, oh, there's nothing there or whatever. But if the government did take it over, they could have covered the hole up. Right.
Photoshop, clone stamp, easy mode.
Right. But there was this interesting, like, if you go to Google Maps, this is an area of the hole and you can kind of see
a hole.
A hole.
With shadow. We'll send this to Mark. We'll have Mark.
Yeah, Mark could put it on the screen. Put
this on the screen for the video confirmations.
Yeah.
That will probably be in the thumbnail as well.
It looks like a hole that might have been covered up. Okay. So people were really fucking interested. Like, what the heck happened to Mel? Like, Google Maps has it back up. We want to see some stuff. So they went to the site and they did take some pictures, which I'll show Mark. Because when Mel had been on some of the calls, he was describing the place, obviously, and he did describe that on his property there were two older buildings that had, and one of them had collapsed. And so people went to the site and they found something that looks like an older building that collapsed on the property. And then they actually found a 9-foot diameter stone walled off hole that had barbed wire all around it. And they said there's a picture of it. And
they did nothing else. They didn't lower anything into it. They didn't put ice in it.
It ended up being a well.
Son of a gun.
So it did have a bottom. And that was maybe not his old. Or the government maybe turned it into a well.
Duh.
Okay. Easy. What's more likely?
It's probably cheap to do that too.
Okay. So the actual hole has never been found. But there are a lot of people that claim to find the area, blah, blah, blah. There also has never been a record of any Mel Waters ever living in the area. But people were like, well, he could have been using a pseudonym.
Sure.
Obviously, like, that would make sense. Something that does hurt the credibility of the story is the lack of pictures. Because Art Bell asked many, many times for pictures, but Mel always, like, had an excuse.
Good reason, like a good catfish.
He would forget, or he said the cameras don't work near the hole, or he, like, said, oh, I have some, and then he forgets to send them. Yeah. He's like, I'll send them to you, and then it doesn't come.
Oh, sorry, my mom's sick.
But another weird thing, though, is that, like, what's the motive? People are like, well, like, if it is a hoax, he never tried to make any money off of it. Never tried to sell any merch.
Would you like me to handle that one?
Okay, well, one more thing is that over the years, this was 5 years long, Mel also stayed extremely consistent with the story. Like, Art Bell tried many times to trip him up, because he does that, right? Like, he would try to trip him up so many times, and it never worked. Like, his story was just super consistent. Go ahead.
Maybe Mel was part of, like, human evolution. Like, maybe Mel was part of, like, you know, he had some kind of autism or something. He could remember every fucking single detail of what was his story that he told, right? Who knows?
Okay,
but my thing about the attention thing, so there's a very famous Art Bell Coast to Coast segment about a guy who said he calls in and this is after Bob Lazar tells everybody about Area 51. Love him or hate him, we didn't know what the fuck Area 51 was, and Bob Lazar brought that to the public's attention. And then this guy calls into Art Bell and he's like, I have been working at Area 51. And he, like, goes into a very detailed story about how he works at Area 51, how he goes into Area 51 and what they're working on and all the different, like spacecraft that they have there, like, that are of alien extraterrestrial origin. It's like a very, very thorough detailed story. And it eventually, the story, like, heightens and heightens and heightens to the point where the guy's, like, getting chased by, like, fucking police and shit. And, like, there's, like, noises on the call, and it's, like, fucking crazy. It's, like, one of the most legendary moments from that show. And it was a confirmed hoax later. Like,
but how was it confirmed?
The guy was, like, yucking it up after.
But how?
Oh, the guy, like, admitted that he faked the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, but if you were threatened, wouldn't you admit that too?
Sure, but that's what I'm saying.
Like, Mel was, like, threatened, like, he'd be like, yeah, I made the whole thing up.
I know you're not actually arguing that.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I'm trying to devil's advocate.
But here we arrive at the concrete wall of, like, you know, you can tell a story so good that people will say, well, of course you get, you know, the people that are behind
this. If there really is a big cover-up, then they would threaten you and tell you to...
But it's like, bro.
They're going to try to ruin your credibility.
You got to prove something, dude. You got to fucking have some kind of thing that everyone can look at and go, okay, that looks like evidence to me.
I agree.
Yeah, I know you do, but I'm just saying, you're devil's advocating. I just want to make sure that that's very clear out there. Because I know exactly what you're doing, but sometimes it does not come across.
Oh, some people are, okay.
They're like, wait, Nikki really doesn't think that. It's so funny. But anyway, no. So that's my thing about it is like, some people just want to watch the world burn, right? Like it's that funny.
They just want to tell a fun story, Alfred like quote. A troll story.
Yeah, I just want to fuck around and like and get a little bit of attention. And like, no, everyone in the country's talking about me right now for a couple days. Yeah, but like
they don't know who he is because he's using a pseudonym.
It's kind of better that way. So you get to get your yucks.
Yeah.
And then you get to like kind of sit at the bar and listen to people talk about you, even though they don't know it's you. It's kind of fucking awesome.
Like internet forums.
Exactly. Yeah. Internet forum trolls. Like that's exactly.
Like Reddit can't sleep.
Exactly. Reddit no sleep. Which is like one of the greatest places for creative Reddit, writing ever. Yeah. Those people are brilliant. But yeah, that's the idea, right? Like it's just.
Yeah.
For the lulz.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't really have any arguments other than.
This is a fucking great story.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly. And he kept it going for 5 years.
That's dedication, too. That's better than my club line shit.
Disappears for 3 years, comes back, and is like, this all this shit happened.
So good.
And also, like, I don't know, like, I feel like if I was trying to troll and tell, like a lot of the no sleep stories, what I like about them is that it feels creepy because it feels like it could happen.
Yeah, plausible.
Like, this just goes off to crazy land. Like, how do you invent... Cutting open a sheep that has a tumor that has a baby seal in it.
I just honestly.
It's like so wild.
I mean, how did Kevin Smith come up with the movie Tusk? Like, I just think that sometimes you can just go to fucking La La Land and like.
Yeah.
Just find out where the weed's going to take you.
The fucking magical seal.
Yeah. I mean, someone who is only on some kind of drug comes up with a fucking seal was talking to me.
So the government has not seized the Nevada hole. I wonder if we can find it.
Hey,
now that we live here,
shit, they don't tell you.
What if we just turn our lives into trying to hunt conspiracies down?
I would fucking love it.
Like, you know, there's Bigfoot. There's
if we're not gonna have kids, we should be chasing something that we can never really get.
You can never find.
We can never find. Right? Like, we should be obsessing over finding something. And dedicating our lives really to it.
I'm fucking down.
I'm pretty down
to try to find the Basque hole. If you know,
if nobody's doing it.
No one's doing it.
People
no one's calling
for Bigfoot.
People exactly. Hack. But no one's looking for Basque's hole with the magic seal in it.
I'm pretty in.
And there's like a lot of stories about Sedona, like a lot of stories about Mount Shasta. So there's like some weird shit that we could go on adventures and try to find. But
we'll start harassing Native Americans. Hey, I know you know about this. Hey. I know you know.
There's actually there's one a Native American representative that has done videos on Mel's Hole. Like,
really?
You can actually go on YouTube. There's like, if you go look this up, there's like forums of people thinking they have proof. Like, there's people going back and forth arguing whether it's real or not. And like, there's one guy that's like, I forget what his name is though, and I don't want to botch it, but he swear like he takes the camera to a location where, like, this is the furthest you can go before you'll get in trouble. So there's like warning signs, like do not enter signs and stuff. And he goes, if you go past this fence, some people will just disappear. Like,
what the fuck?
He said that there's been disappearances. Like, if just don't fucking go past
film
that fence.
Film that, dude.
Well, he can't film it or he might disappear.
Oh, true.
So
film it with a sheep. Use a sheep and film
another
it.
Thing is, yeah, put a little.
Put a sheep.
Put a camera, GoPro.
GoPro with a sheep.
GoPro your sheep. The hole also isn't geologically possible because it would collapse on itself if it was that deep, wouldn't that narrow and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know.
That's a good point.
So there's that. There's like a lot of like, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so like,
it's
such
a
crazy story.
It's a good folk tale.
With like when you look on like having that, you know, Google Maps blocking that out instead of Terra Server blocking that out. And like people, the TV crew actually went there and found like evidence of military boot prints and like there was military activity there. Why? You know? And then
maybe the TV guy's like, man, there's all these military boot prints. And then maybe the associate producer's like, hey, dude, aren't you wearing boots? And he's like, oh, yeah, you got the, I got this in the Army Navy store. It's fucking tight.
Stupid.
You just don't know, though.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes it is like that.
I know. But they were going specifically there to investigate this
but
thing.
But then again, you're not arguing that. But that's the funny thing about like, well, how do you explain the military boots? It's like, it's pretty explainable.
Yeah, I mean, this is very like, there's like zero evidence. So it's not.
Yeah.
it's not even like I can fight for the other side.
Well, you're trying. It's, you have
to
try.
The thing that makes the story fun, and this is what Art Bell was so good at, was is that like, it doesn't matter if it's true or not.
Overaccept.
It's a really fucking fun, like intriguing, entertaining story.
You know what? I will do an episode about some great Art Bell stories because I listened to that show for a long time.
Yeah.
But he was a genius at that, at listening to what the audience wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Like he could tell what the audience wanted to hear and not necessarily having to interject himself into it as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of these radio guys love to hear themselves talk so fucking much. But he really could sit back and just kind of, if the caller could really handle it, right? And they could tell the story like in a sequence that made sense. But if they couldn't, he would really good at guiding them and helping them along.
Another thing I will say is that I listened to the clips of the show and he does sound very convincing. Like, even if it's a lie, like, it doesn't sound like he thinks it's a lie. Yeah. Like, it doesn't sound like someone trying to put together a story or whatever. He's very, like,
convincing,
genuine. Like, it's some really good acting if it's, you know,
the Manti,
if someone that knows it's a lie.
Not that I'm completely shitting on all this or anything, but I'm just sticking up for the skeptics here only because.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, I can go back and forth all day because I'm like, well, what if he did drugs and saw all the shit and he believes it's real and that's why he sounds convincing because he actually believes it happened.
Just to be clear, though, this is not Team Steve versus Team Nikki.
No.
I could easily be sitting in Nikki's chair arguing for the story in playful sense.
Yeah.
And then Nikki's shooting it all down. Like, we do this all the time.
We love doing this shit.
We love doing this shit.
I live doing it back and forth, like, while I'm listening to the story. Same. Like, well, what about this? And then I go look it up, and then I'm like, okay, well, but if that happened, then what about this? And you like to go, okay, I'm a skeptic. Okay, I'm a believer. Okay, I'm a skeptic.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm a believer. I want to go back
both
and forth.
Ways. Yeah. It's really fun both ways.
It is.
But the Manti Te'o catfisher, I don't know if you know who that is.
No.
But he's a LA Chargers football player. Don't worry, I won't talk about football for too long. He was catfished for years by a man who had done such a good job with his voice on the phone that it sounds like a chick.
Oh.
And it sounds like a chick, like, as sure as I'm fucking sitting there. Because he was able to use the way that the phone kind of morphs your voice a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's able to pitch his voice enough to make that really convincing. And there's a great documentary about this on Netflix right now.
Huh.
That maybe we should talk about at some point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's...
Catfishing, that's a good topic.
Yeah, it's really good. But, like, this guy was so good at it that... they convinced not just Manti Te'o, who was like in a years long relationship with this person, but they convinced the whole community that she was sick and like they were raising money for her and stuff. Cause like eventually the lie was just getting rougher and rougher. And like that wall kept on getting further and further against the person's back.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I can't prove it anymore. Fuck. I can't meet you cause I'm sick and all this shit.
Yeah.
And Manti Te'o being a good dude, he's like, fucking let's raise money. Let's help you. And all this shit.
Yeah.
It's wild. But convincing is what you do if you're the liar. You got to be good at it.
Yeah.
You got, if you're going to sell a story to millions of people, you better be good at it.
Right.
Right. And that's what, you know, credit to them, hats off. And
that's
shit.
Why. So I along those lines, when we tell conspiracy theory stories on this show, we just love hearing the story, right?
It's stories. Not like I'm addicted to stories.
I don't ever go like, this shit's real. Yeah, no. I'm in. Although
Hollow Earth is hilarious, though.
Yeah.
Hollow Earth is hilarious.
You think it's hilarious? I thought that was really interesting.
I thought it was real, by the way.
Huh?
No, but that's what I mean. I love the where it can get nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I love that shit.
Yeah.
That's my favorite shit.
Well, nuts, but with like some level of credibility that enough to like make you go, huh, maybe.
Exactly.
Like have that little
it
bit of maybe.
That. The
like
kernel.
That like Admiral Admiral Byrd going down there, and he's such a like very reliable, responsible, integrous person.
You can build the lie on that.
And him saying that there are as a species of people living down there that have lived for 800 years, that like, I mean, like each individual lives for 800 years.
But the best part, right?
Yeah.
So they'll take that, which, yes, he was saying a lot of stuff back then.
Yeah.
But then like it turns into like, and then there's giants and like there's people
there
who
giants.
Live forever. And but you know what I mean? Like he wasn't saying that.
No. He just reported on what he saw.
Yeah. So you take the kernel of truth, you build on top of it, and it gets fucking nuts. And that's where it gets really good for me personally.
Yes.
Like I fucking love that.
Because people start
shit.
It's like a telephone thing where people start adding their own shit on it, and then
it's my favorite genre.
Because I've looked into like, okay, first of all, never went to the moon. Second of all, the moon's fake.
Correct.
It's made out of plasma. It's actually flat. It's made out of plasma. No, actually, it's the moon's real, but it's a hollow alien space base.
Love that one.
And they're spying on us. They've been spying on us for years.
And all we have to do is get behind it, because the dark side of the moon is the back of a spaceship. Yeah. You see like fucking thrusters.
And you can go in through there.
But guess what, assholes? We can't produce that photography because the moon is geo-orbiting, or what is it called? Tidal locked. So yeah. Like it's always facing the same, yeah, direction, same direction to the Earth, so we don't see the thrusters.
Exactly, perfectly.
Dummies.
I watched a lot of videos on all of the theories. It's like there's so many theories about the moon, because anything that's like mysterious hasn't been kind of like explored all the way. You could make up whatever the shit you want about it.
You really
can. Like there's not enough evidence to prove that your story's wrong.
Exactly.
Like, have you been to the moon? No, you haven't. So how do you know it's not made of plasma?
Well, that's why the flat Earth one was one of my favorites as well.
Yeah.
Because, like,
you can't prove the Earth is round.
You can't, like, independently prove the Earth is round.
Yeah.
And so, like, no matter what, you have to go to some official place. And then, like, well, that's already a scam because, like, it's an official place. So, like, you're already fucked.
Yeah.
So, like, until people can build, you know, rockets in their garage, and I'm not saying people aren't, but like, you know, the average person.
No, but then even if you can build rockets in your garage and go all the way out into space, there's a firmament according to the flat Earth people, so you can't even go up to space.
And so they're smart enough to know not to do that, but then how are they ever going to prove it?
You can't prove it.
Because if you're smart enough to know there's a fucking glass ceiling, then you're not going to do it.
You can't do it.
But then you're going to wait for somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's the problem with Bigfoot.
So it's unprovable.
That's the problem with Bigfoot. I got attacked by Bigfoot.
It's unprovable and undebunkable.
Exactly. It's so great.
This lie that's perfect. That's the best kind. It's right in the middle. You can't prove the lie is a lie. You can't prove that the truth is the truth.
I got attacked by Bigfoot. Are you sure? Yes. Describe Bigfoot to me. Well, they describe a grizzly bear, right? And then it's like, but it looked like it knew what it was doing, it was intelligent. And then it's like, oh, that's okay. That's a little different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's like, well, it was dark. Like, I thought Bigfoot had blue eyes. And do grizzly bears have blue eyes? No, they confirmed don't have blue eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
And so then it starts
like a little bit.
It starts to get the wheel rolling. And then you start to get my interest.
Mm-hmm.
I start to get real into it.
And the more details that you can give is like, oh, the better. Yeah.
How could I make this up? I was playing Tetris. Why would I say I was playing Tetris?
Yeah. I think that those are really fun to explore. And I have never seen anything with enough evidence except for that Paul McCartney was switched out in 1966. And that's where we'll end our
show. And that's
show.
A fact. That's a
that is a
fact.
I will fucking debate you into the ground.
Fight you with knives.
Paul McCartney, the one that you see, is not the Paul McCartney.
And by the way, as much of a skeptic as I am about so many of these things, I saw a UFO with my own eyes with my whole fucking family in 1996. So deal with it,
eat a
bitches.
Dick, a big fat
dick. Do I know what
dick.
It was? No, but it was crazy because it literally was standing there in the sky. I've talked about this many times. A light standing there in the sky, way, 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 way up high. I don't know how fucking high I was 12 years old. And then not a cloud in the whole sky. All of a sudden, a cloud forms around it in a perfect circle, and it sucks inside of itself and completely dissipates. Gone.
Yep.
And it was up there for like 15
check
minutes.
Check out our other episodes. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, it's fucking tight.
Yeah. Also, huge shout out to the Y-Files. That's where I first heard about the story. Mm. And he does a really good job on a lot of different topics.
Is it a tuber?
Yeah. Okay. The Y-Files is a channel. Check it out. The Y-Files, he's pretty big, so like, I don't know, you probably heard of him already, but he does so many topics that are so interesting, and he does a really good job of investigating and towing the line of like,
yeah,
understanding, like listening, but then also like creating, like showing the skeptics.
Big shout out to you, sir. And also, yeah. I like the name, it's good because it's like the X-Files, but it's like the next letter.
Yeah,
I think that's good.
And it's like, why?
Oh, that's even better. I didn't even think of that. It's that's like, really why? Good.
It's like, why? It's like, why? Anyway, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. We put these episodes out a couple days early. Yes. We also do live
support
streams, crypto stream. We do free poker tournaments.
I do.
And
crypto
it's a
corner
lot of
every
fun.
Tuesday night, 7 p.m.
Discord server is really fun.
PST.
It's a good gang over there.
It's the best gang ever.
And we'll see you next week.
Deuces out. Later.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well.
Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.